Reading from Sri Bhajan Rahasya. By Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, discussion of Nam Bhajan at the level of a sakti, which precludes or precedes bhava and prema. This Nam Bhajan at the level of a sakti is related to the fifth verse of Sri Chaitanya Shikshastakam. Ai nanda tana chakinkaram patitam mam vishame vabambudo kripaya tava parapankaja stita dili sajisham vichintaya. O son of Nanda, O Nanda Nandan, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of nescience and I'm suffering in this material world. Please pick me up from this terrible ocean of material life and keep me fixed as an atom in the dust of your lotus feet. So this is a prayer of showing the mood of intense attachment to the Lord, crying out, calling out, weeping, begging for the mercy of the Lord, begging for some service, in a very genuine mood of devotion. The last word in the first line of this verse is kinkaram, ayinanda tanaja kinkaram. So kinkaram means servant. So in our discussion here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is gradually bringing us to the understanding of the topmost service or the topmost servant tour of the Lord, who are the gopis of Vrindavan. So in that discussion, he quotes a verse from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, which actually reveals what is known as Kinkari Bhav. Kinkari is a feminine form of Kinkara. And Kinkari means, or Kinkari Bhav means the mood of absolute dedication, the mood of absolute dedication and surrender for the pleasure of Srimati Radharani, to be a maidservant, or we can say a handmaiden, or a maidservant, just as a queen has so many maidservants. So Vrindavaneshwari, Srimati Radharani, she is the controller of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is Krishna. Krishna's sarup is Vrindavan. And Krishna is controlled by love. And the purity of Radharani's love is the greatest, so therefore she's the controller of Vrindavan. Vrindavaneshwari, because she controls Krishna by her love. So in this verse from the 10th canto, chapter 29, verse 38, the gopis are praying to the Lord. And Vishnu Chakravarti has a very nice commentary. And this verse is given, as other all the other verses in this book of Secrets of Bhajan, is given for us to do mantra mayi upasana. Mantra mayi upasana is a type of spiritual practice wherein one reads this particular mantra or shloka in Sanskrit. Then he meditates on the meaning. What is the deep meaning, the different levels of meaning? How does it relate to attachment? How does this verse, how does this statement of the Braja Gopis, how does this indicate asakti or attachment to the Lord? And how can I increase my attachment to the Lord by reading this verse? So there are key words here in the last line, taptatmanam purusha bhushana dehi dasyam. Dehi dasyam, the gopis are actually praying to the Lord. They're saying, Dehi, O Shamsundar, O Krishna, please give us your service. We don't want anything more. Dehi dasyam. Dasi bhav, or the mood of being a surrendered or dedicated servant of the Lord. This dasi bhav is the same as kinkari bhav. Vishwanath Chakravarti, he gives his tika on this verse. Tanna prasida brijinardana tengri mulam. Prapta visrijya vasitis tvarupasanasha tvatsundara smita nirikshana tivrakama taptatmanam purushabhushana dehi dasyam. Translation. O vanquisher of all distress, the gopis have met Krishna on the banks of the Yamuna, Yamuna Pulin, on the full moon night of the Sharad season, which happened a few weeks ago or so. The last full moon was Sharad Purnima. And they met him there, and they had come to offer everything they had in their possession. They came to offer everything they had in their possession for the pleasure of Krishna. And when he got there, he was saying, Oh, swagatam, welcome. Oh, why have you come? Have you lost something? Or devotees can maybe move up a little bit. There's plenty of room. You're like, you're getting... Chanaka Pandit, he says there's three things He shouldn't get too close to these three things, and he shouldn't get too far. And the three things are fire, king, and guru. He shouldn't get too close to the king or too far from the king. He shouldn't get too close to the guru or too far from the guru. And he shouldn't get too close to the fire. That's obvious. Or too far from the fire. So, don't be too far. She's too far. The wife is too far and the husband's too close. No, I'm only joking. We have to find the happy medium, as I say. So the gopis have come to meet Krishna on this beautiful night in the Sharad season, where the days are warm and the nights are cool. The full moon is rising over the Yamuna, and the rays of the moon are dancing on the waves of the Yamuna. And the Lord of the night is reigning beautifully and casting his light everywhere. And now the gopis, they have nothing in their mind. There's nothing in their mind, in their heart, but the pleasure of Krishna. This is prem. There's not a drop of lust. There's not a drop of exploitation. And there's not a drop of selfishness within them. And now Krishna is acting apparently unfavorably. Oh, why have you come? Have you come to see the flowers in the forest? Oh, if you've come, then you must have seen them. Now you can go. Have you come to see the scenery on the banks of the Yamuna? Oh, actually, it's not a very good time of night. You can't see very much, and there's very dangerous creatures wandering here and there. There's tigers and so many cobras, because they come out at night. And aren't you afraid? And what about your relatives? They may be worried over where you are. So, Krishna's saying all these type of things. So now the gopis, they reply by saying, oh, vanquisher of distress, please show us your mercy. To approach your lotus feet, we have abandoned our families and homes. We have no other desire than to serve and please you. Our hearts are burning with intense desires generated by your beautiful smiling glances. Now, in the onset, as someone reads this phrase, they'll think, oh, well, when I see the beautiful glances of some beautiful lady, then my heart also burns with desire. My heart burns with desire to enjoy with that lady. Or if a lady sees the bewitching glance or the captivating glances of a handsome man. But here the gopis' hearts are burning. This is the difference between kama and prema. The gopis' hearts are burning with intense desires to satisfy Krishna. That's why the love of the gopis is called kamanuga. Their love is called kam. It's called kanta prem or kam. The word is used kam because we in the material world, we know what the effect of kam or lust is. How our minds and hearts burn with these desires for exploiting someone else or enjoying someone else. But just the opposite of that is prem, but it's so intense that if we just simply say love, it won't convey the actual intensity. So when we use the word calm, the acharyas say calm, but it doesn't mean calm, it's just the opposite. Our calm is self-centered. Their calm is centered on Krishna. Their hearts are burning with intense desires generated by your beautiful smiling glances. O jewel among men, please make us your maidservants. So the illustrious commentator, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti, states, the Brajagopis said, giving up our families, we desire to be your servants, like the devotees of Narayan. As you are similar to Narayan, you should be pleased with us. Because Narayan is quite, he is a Maryada avatara, he's Maryada Purushottam. He plays by the books, as they say. He plays by the books. He plays according to the rule. If you come to Narayan and say, look, I've come here to serve you, he says, fine, sweep the floor. He immediately engages you. He doesn't play games. He doesn't play hard to get. He doesn't make it difficult. Anyone who goes to Narayan to be Narayan Das, then they immediately get some post. They immediately get service appointment. But someone comes to Krishna and says, look, we come to serve you. Oh, really? I don't need any service. You don't have to stay here. Don't tarry here any longer. Better you go. So he plays very hard to get. And he's very hard to understand. And they're saying, well, listen, Gargamuni, at the time of your birth, we heard from Purnamasi that your birth ceremony, Gargamuni said that you are like Narayan. That he told Vasudeva that your son will be like Narayan. And that actually an avatar, Narayan, is living within your heart. So since you're like Narayan, why don't you behave like Narayan? When people come to Narayana and say, please give me service, I'm surrendering unto you, he immediately accepts them. But now you're giving us the runaround and all this rigmarole and all this other stuff you're saying, trying to do some jadu on our minds. But then Krishna says, so this is their appeal, the gopis. They're trying to use some reason and logic. Well, you're supposed to be Narayan, so why don't you behave like Narayan? Play by the books. Why are you so crooked? You stand in a crooked way, you walk in a crooked way, you speak in a crooked way. Everything is crooked about the Lord of crookedness. So then Krishna replies, but you girls must have some bad karma which causes suffering and therefore stands in the way of my favoring you. Therefore, how can you receive my mercy? Does Lord Narayan grant his mercy to just anyone? The Brajagopis reply, this is a word they use, Brijayardana, which is in the Sanskrit shloka, and this means, oh, one who vanquishes distress. So they're anticipating that he may say that, oh, you actually have bad karma, you're suffering. So because you're suffering from your bad karma, you aren't eligible, you don't have the adhikar to actually serve God, because you have to pay, because you were so sinful in your last life, you have to pay, you have to suffer in this life for all your sins and irreligious activities in last life, so you won't be given the opportunity to serve God in this life, because you're too decadent and fallen and sinful. So that you're not going to get the favor of Narayan. That's what Krishna is saying. Then the gopis say, but you're the vanquisher of distress. You can remove the cause of our suffering because God can do anything. And then you can make us qualified. So they say, please remove our suffering. It is well known in the scriptures that Narayan takes away the suffering of those who take shelter of him. Similarly, without any ulterior motive, we have renounced our homes to take shelter of your lotus feet. Then Krishna says, we surmise that you must be expecting some pleasure from me in exchange for abandoning the happiness of your family life. He's being very suspicious here. So now wait a minute. You left your homes, your Sony color television, you know, your waterbed, your mixie and blenders. You left everything, your husband, your couch, everything. And you've come here in the middle of the forest, and what do I have? I don't have anything. But I think that you're going to exploit me. You've come out here to extract something from me. If you've given up all that happiness, that means you've already calculated, look, if we sell this flat for 10 lakhs, then we can buy this, you know, this calculation here for profit and loss. So I think you're calculating that you're going to set me up. You're going to set me up and exploit me to the max and just squeeze out all kinds of pleasure from me. So don't think I'm so stupid to fall for this. So he's very suspicious about their motives. I don't trust these little girls. There's something up their sleeves. So then the Brajagopis say, our only aspiration is to worship you for your pleasure, not ours. So then Vishnu says, the idea underlying the gopis' argument is as follows. If in the course of pleasure pleasing you, we circumstantially become happy by seeing your face, what is the fault in that? In other words, the gopis are saying, listen, we've only come out here for your pleasure, really. We're really quite clean. We're quite clean in our objective. We don't want to take anything. We only want to give ourselves to you and make you completely happy. But somehow or other, in the course of doing that and giving you happiness and satisfying you, if in fact we are able to satisfy you and bring happiness to you, and because of that you smile, because when someone's happy, they smile. And then if we see that smile, and then we say, oh, he's happy, he smiled. And then we get some pleasure from seeing your smile, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? What's the fault in that? And then Krishna says, then why are you gopis improperly asking me to extinguish the fire in your hearts? Brajagopis, This is not improper. It is the truth. You are the cause of that fire's flaring up. Our souls burn with intense desires created by your beautiful smiling glances. In other words, we've come here to ask you to put out the fire. But you started the fire. There's some little boy, we used to have some forest around our house, and my brother and I used to go into the forest and start fires. And then my mother would call the fire department, and then we would run in the house and watch the fire department come and put out the fire. But we were the ones that started the fire, and then we would watch them put out the fire. So the gopis, they're telling Krishna, you're the one, you started the fire, and then we've come to you to put it, now you put it out. And so to remove that fault, you should simply grant us the position of your maidservants rather than the status of wives. So the gopis they're saying, look, we haven't come out here to ask you for some formal relationship or to ask you for some official connection. Yes, we've come here to please accept us as your wives. We're just your maidservants. We can, you know, maidservant, you hire them to clean the dishes, you have a big function, many guests are coming, so you hire temporary help. And they come in for 2 days and they work and they go out and you never see them again. You pay them. So they're saying, we come here, we'll do our temporary work and we'll go. We just came here, put out the fire, we're your maidservants, we don't want anything more than that. Now, Vishwanath quotes, Sripad Vallabhacharya comments on this as follows. The gopis prayed for the position of maidservants, which means, maidservants means kinkari. Kinkari means manjari, or just like, this is the meaning, this because they say dehi dasya. In the Sanskrit, they're saying dehi dasyam means please give us a position as simply servants. We don't want any official recognition. As a maidservant is nothing. In a house, if someone has the post of the servant, that is very insignificant. But if someone is the husband or the wife or the children, they're the main headliners of the household, stage of the household. The husband, the wife, and the children. Then the co-stars are the servants. They're not much stars. They're insignificant. So they're saying like that. So the gopis, they prayed. Why? Because to be married to Krishna would need to have received... The gopis prayed to be maidservants, not Krishna's wives. Because to be married to Krishna... To be married, Krishna would need to have received Upanayanam Samskara, Brahman thread, which he got later in Mathura Leela. This is a fact in the Vedic society, which was certainly intact 5,000 years ago. And everyone, at least in the upper classes, in Vaishya, Kshatriya, and Brahman, before the marriage ceremony was enacted, they would have to have the Upanayanam Samskara. And nowadays we see in Vrindavan, which we've seen personally, that if a boy was going to school and then he finished his school when he was 22 or 3, and then his parents arranged for a marriage, they would do everything in one day practically. They have the Upanayam Samskara, and then he's a Brahmin, and the next day they have a function where he's a Brahmachari. Actually, in the morning he's a Brahmachari, then in the afternoon he's married. I saw this, because what's happened is he's born, he's actually a brahmachari, he's living 22 years, he's celibate, he's living at home, he's only going to high school and college, he gets his degree, now his parents arrange for a marriage. I saw this as one Brahmin. It was happening right where I was living. And I said, what's going on? Because he was wearing wooden shoes, like a brahmachari, this type of karam. And he was carrying a stick. He was walking up and down the garden. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, now I'm a brahmachari. For a few hours I have to carry this around, and because I have to be in all the ashrams. So officially I wasn't really I was living like a brahmachari, but now this is official, it's like an ashram, so there's a certain kind of initiation. So I'm a brahmachari, and then yesterday they had a big yogi and he was given his upanayanam. He's born in a Brahmin family, but he didn't get upanayanam until he was 22. So I was a Brahmin, I got my upanayanam, my upavita, Brahman thread, now I'm brahmachari, and then tomorrow I'll be married. Because you have to go through it's called varnashram dharma, so you have to go through brahmachari ashram, and then grihastha vanaprastha like this. So Vallabhacharya is saying that, Krishna, we can't ask to be your wives because you're not qualified for marriage yet, so we have to be just your maidservants. The Brajagopis continue. Thus, there is no harm in our being unmarried maidens or being married to other men, for neither of these conditions preclude a relationship of servitude with you. In other words, the gopis are saying, Dehi dasyam, just make us your maidservants, because even if we're married to someone else, we can still serve you. Like you have so many people that work in your house, they're serving your wife or serving your... But they're married, and maybe some are single. Sometimes you have young girls or boys, they serve in someone's house, but they're not married. So they're saying, we're like this. We're married or we're not married. Still, it doesn't exclude us from becoming your maidservants. Sanatana Goswami says in his commentary that service to the husband in married life does not give as much happiness as service to a paramour lover. This point is also corroborated in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Since being a servant is more desirable, the gopis pray in this verse, may we become your maidservants, Dehi Dasyam. The Braja Gopis continue. Because you are a vast ocean of desires, the proper worship of you, who are a woman hunter, by us young girls, should be executed with our own bodies to bring you satisfaction. Consequently, our prayer to extinguish the fire in our hearts is actually a prayer to worship you. The fire of our lust is the chief instrument in that worship. So they're going to please Krishna or satisfy Krishna with the fire of the lust in their hearts to please him and satisfy him, which he created by playing on his flute and glancing at them with his beautiful dancing eyes. Thus it is fitting that the Braja Gopis address Krishna with the phrase Purusha Bhushana. Oh, this is in the verse. O jewel among men. By this the gopis meant to say, O jewel of all males, please decorate our golden bodies with the dark blue gems of your limbs. That's a very beautiful and poetic way of saying I love you. If you say in English I love you, it's pretty flat and doesn't go very far. What do you say? Purusha Bhushana. Bhushana means ornament. Purusha means enjoyer or person. And Bhushana means ornament. So Krishna is dark blue like a sapphire. Nilamani, Ujjvala Nilamani. He's very effulgent and shining, Ujjvala Nilamani. And the gopis are like gold, molten gold. It's a very beautiful combination if you have a gold ring with a blue sapphire. Of course, you have to have a beautiful combination of rupees also. To have such a ring. I mean, a real good dark blue sapphire. But nowadays they dye them all, so you don't know what you have. But Krishna is not dyed. He's a real thing. He's a real Ujjvala Nilamani, through and through. So this is the Vishnu Chakravarti's purport on this verse. And in this commentary on this Bhajan Rahasyam, actually he's also quoting the purport of Vishwanath in his own way, his own translation. So this is, all of this now, at this point, now there comes lots of rasa. Lots of flavor starts coming into Bhajan Rahasyam. And it may seem very far away or it may seem very distant, but now Bhajan is coming to perfection. This is a sakti, attachment. So attachment in Krishna takes a particular shape. They're attached. Attached means we're attached to God to love Him and serve Him in a particular way. And there are five particular ways to serve Krishna. And one is in Madhurya Bhav, or the mood of conjugal love, or to be an assistant of His conjugal love or intimate love with the gopis. So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining the particulars. The mood, this is all about Bhav. This is all about Gopi Bhav or Kinkari Bhav. And this bhav is explained that the bodies of the gopis, the bodies of the Braja gopis are actually made of bhav. They're not made of bones and nerves and skin and all these things. They're made of bhav. They're called aprakrita deha, transcendental bodies. And they're made of transcendental elements. So the most important transcendental element is prema or bhava. So that bhava takes a shape and it appears in a human shape. Because in this human shape, that bhava can be expressed in the most personal and intimate way. So Krishna has a human shape, Radha has a human shape, the gopis have human shape. But that's the only appearance, the similarity between God and his consorts, or Krishna and the gopis. It looks similar, human-like. We say Nara Leela. But that's where the similarity stops. Because the feelings and the bhavas and everything else about their bodies, because there's no difference between the inside and the outside of their bodies. The outside of our bodies is skin and nerves, and inside is bones and bone marrow. And there's so many, there's a difference. Then there's mind, and then there's the soul. Underneath all of that is the soul, and the soul spreads its consciousness throughout the body. But for Krishna and the gopis, there's no difference between the outside and the inside. Their bodies, through and through, from outside to inside, through and through, they're made of bhav. They're made of, as we hear, Radharani is Mahabhav Swarupini. Her swarup, her own form, is made of Mahabhav, which is all the various kinds of bhavas, all the different aspects and flavors of love, contained and compressed to the utmost extent, to where she becomes completely mad in love for Krishna, Divyanmad. So there's sneha is there, man is there, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav, all everything together. So to attain a siddha deha, or a perfect or spiritual body, one must cultivate bhav, the bhavas. And if we want to have a siddha deha, or a spiritual body to serve Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world, in madhurya bhav, in this mood of conjugal love, then we have to have the mood of conjugal love. The mood of conjugal love means the bhav, the sentiments, the feelings. So all these verses, these exchanges that the gopis, what the gopis are revealing here, and these words in this verse from 10th canto of chapter 29, the gopis are revealing their hearts. They're revealing their bhav, their moods and feelings of love and attachment and total dedication to Krishna. So when we read this, then the worship, we worship this verse, we worship them, the gopis, the Braja gopis, and we pray to them. It's called Gopi Anugatya, to follow in the path of the gopis, to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. So how do we approach them? How do we connect with them? Do we write them a letter? Do we send them a Sims message? Because usually they don't, even if they have mobiles, they don't usually turn them on. Right, we have Venuvad and Murlivad and Nokiavad. The gopis are busy listening to Venuvad. They can't listen to Nokiavad. Our ears, the modern man and woman's ears, are fully attuned to Nokiavad. Everyone is always waiting to hear Nokiavad. That beep, 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 hello. So everyone is carrying their Nokias everywhere and waiting to hear that call. And as soon as that Nokia Vod rings, and they run to that call. So the gopis are only, the ears of the gopis can only hear one Vod, only Murli Vod. There's a name for Krishna called Murli Vadana. So they only hear Venu Vod or Murli Vod. They don't hear anything else. And as soon as they hear that sound, they run to attend to it. They run to attend to it, just as we run to attend to our phones. Oh, that's my phone! And we run from the living room into the kitchen. Oh, I left my phone in the bedroom. We run so fast. I don't want to miss the call. It's Nokiavad. Ooh. You know, this is our Maya. So Maya is making us dance in so many ways. So Krishna is making the gopis dance in so many ways with Venuvad. So the gopis are teaching us here that we should become attached to Krishna like they're attached to Krishna. And we're not. So we have to pray to them and connect with them. We connect with them by praying to them and crying to them, because they can hear our tears. They can hear our crying. So this verse is like a cable. Each of these verses is like cable. If you run the cable to your house, then you can see the cable television broadcast from wherever it's broadcast. So each of these verses is a cable which connects our hearts to the spiritual world. So you have to get a subscription. So the guru sells cable connections. The guru sells the cable connections. So you have to surrender to the guru and become tanmoy, become one with the heart of the guru. Because the guru is supposed to be Nikunja Yunarati Keli Siddhai. He's supposed to be absorbed in such activities. So when he gives you mantra diksha, those mantras, when chanted properly, with sincerity and with faith, then those mantras, they carry you into the heart of the guru. That's why it's told in Bhakti Sandarbha. Jiva Goswami says a disciple should try to see the guru and all the mantras received from the guru. He should try to see the guru in Kam Gayatri. He should try to see the guru in Gopal Gayatri. Gopal mantra. And of course, Guru mantra and Guru Gayatri, obvious. And Gopal and Gaur Gayatri and Gaur mantra. Because the bhava of the guru is in all these mantras. So, of course, the guru doesn't have any bhava, that's another thing. but generally, the gurus do have. Because they also receive bhava from their guru. And they're coming in parampara. So if they're sincere, they become sincere recipients. That is the treasure. That is the inheritance that Brahma talks about in the 10th canto. This jivetiyo mukti sade pade sadayabhak. Andayabhak. Dayabhak means inheritance. That which one inherits. So the disciple inherits the bhava or bhava of his guru. If he's tanmoy or tadatmika with his guru, if he becomes one with the inner heart of his guru, then he inherits the wealth of his heart. If he remains external, all on the external plane, following the external aspect of guru, then he never enters the heart of the guru. He only stays on the outside. So these verses are meant for entering the heart of the gopis. Because in the heart of the gopis, their hearts are made of this bhav, gopi bhav. And this is Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Gaudiya Vaishnavism means gopi bhav. The service of Radharani. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving us the secrets. These verses are secret. They're secrets. They're contained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. They've been lying there. These secrets have been lying there for 5,000 years, hidden in the chapters of Bhagavatam. And acharyas like Vishwanath and Vallabha, they are revealing the secrets, what the moods are there. Then acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur are revealing how these secrets can be applied to Nam Bhajan. That is a special contribution of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's one thing to reveal the secret, but then it's another thing to reveal how to use that secret to your advantage. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is revealing how to use this secret about the gopis' inner love and pure love for Krishna in relation to Nam Bhajan, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and attaining attachment to the Lord and nothing else, and giving up all other attachments to such an extent that one becomes full of bhav and ultimately prema. So, since it's such an important verse, there's no real hurry to go anywhere. And we're already there. There's nowhere to go but to stay in the banks of Radhakund and to serve the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in our Siddhadeha. This is what Rupa Goswami is telling in Upadeshamrita. And one should reside in the banks of Radhakund and in one Siddhadeha render service to the Lord throughout the day and the night. So Sri Damodara Goswami, he is the first follower of Srila Prabhupada to come to the banks of Radhakund. Bhakti Sri Damodara Swami. He's the first disciple of Prabhupada to come to the banks of Radhakund to enter the Nitya Leela, Radha Krishna, and do seva there. So I'm sure others will follow. The other disciples, they enter the Leela in Mayapur. But Bhakti Swadhamara Swami, he's entered here. And it's interesting. Something to think about. And you'll get your own realization on that, according to your surrender. So here, in this commentary, it says, immersed in the mood of the gopis, Shukadeva Goswami, who is speaking this verse, hearing the sound of the flute, the Vraja gopis, they went to the Rasastali, where they met Krishna face to face, Brajendra Nandan Shams under the ocean of all nectarine mellows. He began to joke with them in order to taste the sentiments hidden within their hearts. So in other words, this verse is revealing, as we mentioned, the secret of their hearts, the intensity of their attachment to Krishna. Usually we don't speak out what's in our hearts. We keep it hidden. But here it's a confidential setting. It's only the lover and the beloved. There are no other ears over here. There are no other eyes over here. But Shukadeva Goswami, somehow, because he's also Radharani's servant, he's Radharani's parrot, he maybe was over there in the trees. And he was also witnessing. So he was able to give some report here. So the gopis' replies or retorts are full of sarcastic humor. The general meaning of this verse is that the gopis are praying to become maidservants of Krishna, dehi dasyam. This is the general meaning. Krishna begins by saying, "O you who are intoxicated with your fresh youth, navayovanam pramata, it is extremely rare to attain service to me." The gopis reply, "O Shyam Sundar, you fulfill the desires of those who are surrendered unto you. Your beautiful smiling glances have set intense lust ablaze in our hearts, and this is tormenting us. Nevertheless, we want no kind of compensation for our suffering. Please just give us service to your lotus feet." Or the gopis may say, "O Shyam Sundar, we are young women, and we want to create happiness for you with our bodily limbs. We want to worship you through the quote paraphernalia of accepting your blooming smiling glances and the nectar of your lips. O ornament amongst men, Purushabhushan, we are fair complexion and you are like a sapphire, so you are the natural ornament for our bodily limbs." Or the gopis say sarcastically, "We are not praying to obtain the dust of your lotus feet. You are making us suffer from moral guilt and unhappiness. You are certainly living up to your name, Brijina Ardhan, vanquisher of distress. We have heard from Purnamasi that even Lakshmi, who enjoys pastimes on the chest of Narayan, comes to take shelter of your lotus feet. Tengri Mulam. But we are not Lakshmi. We have just come here out of curiosity to view the natural beauty of Vrindavan on a moonlit night. So give your shelter to Lakshmi of Vaikuntha, not to us. You should remember, though, that not even Lakshmi and others would completely accept servitude to you, O best among men. You so eagerly desire to attain the young brides of Gokul that you even adorn the sukkas like Subal and others in gopi dress." The gopis are alluding to some pastimes that previously happened, where sometimes Krishna would dress up Subal, because Subal has a golden complexion like a gopi, and a very gentle and fair face, a deer-like face, like tender face like a lady. So Krishna would dress him up like a gopi, and then he would relish playing with him and fooling with him. And then also there's some pastimes about that, which is going to happen soon on Gopastami, where Radharani and Subal exchange clothes. O ornament of men, the male gender has been defamed by this nature of yours. Don't think we are suffering from lust, and we are not your beloveds. This is only your imagination. So this is another explanation of Vishwanath's purport. So well, this gives us some glimpse into the spiritual world, into the gopis' love for the Lord, how much humor there is in their exchanges, and how much intensity. And this humor and all these exchanges of love, this is some of the sweetness of Krishna. Krishna is glorified for this prema madhurya and lila madhurya, the sweetness of his lilas and the sweetness of his prema. So this is how the sweetness comes out when we hear about the exchanges between Krishna and his beloved devotees, especially the gopis. There's so much sweetness there that it counteracts the sourness or bitterness in our hearts. the experience of living in the material world and having a material body creates so much bitterness and so much sourness. So the anecdote for bitter is sweet. So this Madhuryam, this Madhurya Leela of Madhurya Purushottam is so much dripping in sweetness that it inundates the heart with a rain shower of nectar sweetness. And that nectar sweetness, it gradually washes away this mountain of bitterness in the heart. So that now, as we are told by our benevolent acharyas, to repeatedly hear and hear and hear about the sweet pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And what happens is, if you go out in the rain long enough, if it keeps raining and raining, then whatever is there will be washed away. Even the tallest, mightiest mountain, if it rains every day for eternity, that mountain will be reduced into dust. Water has such power, although water is so soft. Water can bore a hole in the hardest granite. Water continues to drip, and then it can bore a hole straight through a granite boulder in the Himalayas, in the mountain regions. You often see that. Water is pouring over somewhere and it bores a hole by continuous falling. But water by nature is very soft. There's nothing hard about water, except we have hard water. The water in Braj is quite hard, full of minerals and chemicals. But in terms of texture or whatever, water is very soft. So this is the bhajan, because our hearts are very hard. So the bhavas, these feelings don't come. Our hearts are dry. We don't feel any of these sentiments. We can't. If the heart is very soft, when one hears about these exchanges, it actually brings tears to the eyes. And very advanced devotees, very advanced jivas who actually have softened hearts, purified hearts due to many lifetimes of spiritual performances, they hear such descriptions and they actually, their hearts start melting because they identify with these sweet exchanges and they respond by crying. So therefore, these verses Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving us to be reflected upon over and over again. Try to see the verse, see the pastime, see the faces of the gopis, see Krishna's face, what is his expression, and then try to, and then ultimately it all depends on kripa. Everything depends on kripa, mercy. Mercy comes down from above. The rain doesn't come from the ground. A grain comes from the sky and comes down to us. This is the way rain comes. It doesn't come up and then fall on our head. It comes down from above. So this mercy descends from the Nitya Parishads. It descends through the parampara and it comes on our heads when our heads are at the feet of the Guru. When the head is submitted to the feet of the Guru, it's called pranipatena. Krishna tells in Gita that this is where the head should be. Tadvidi pranipatena paripashnena sevya vidikshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshana. 4th chapter, verse 34. He's telling that the head of the disciple should be pranipatena. It should be at the feet of the Guru, feet of Sri Guru. And when the head is submitted, the head means, the feet means submission. When one submits to the Guru, then the Guru himself is submitted to his Guru. And he submitted himself to his Guru, and to his Guru. And it goes ultimately to Krishna. And Krishna himself, his head is also submitted at the feet of his Guru. Who is the feet of Krishna's Guru? Srimati Radharani. And his head is on her feet. And he is telling in Gita Govinda by Jayadeva Goswami, Dehi Padapallavam Udharamatapam. Dehi, O Radhika, Dehi Pada, please give me your feet. I want to place them on my head. So Krishna's head is at the feet of Radharani. Right? So therefore, everyone, if you want to, this is the parampara. Radharani is Prem Acharya, Prem Guru. She teaches Krishna, Krishna teaches Brahma. Brahma teaches Narad. Narad teaches Vyas. And it comes down like this. So if we want to receive that prema, we can't be more than Krishna. We can't receive that prema by standing up straight. We can't receive that prema by sitting down. receive that prema by lying at the feet of the Guru and crying. As Krishna cries at Radharani's feet and moistens her feet and bathes her feet with his tears, we must also lie at the feet of Guru and bathe his feet with our tears. Then we may see some transformation. Then some drops of bhava may come into our hearts. So I have some notes on this verse, but the notebooks are sleeping somewhere else today. Maybe tomorrow they'll come out. And we can read the next verse, because all these verses are just all about Gopi Bhav. So now we're sailing in very sweet waters, and very favorable winds are blowing our way. And we're really cruising in the nectar ocean of transcendental mercy. Of course, we're not anywhere near this level. We're way back down there in Dvitiya Sadhana, Anartha Nivritti. But we somehow or other we jumped on this boat, and now we're in Panchmayam Sadhana. We're in chapter number 5 and reading about Asakti, Krishna Asakti and Nam Bhajan. And we're waiting and praying for the day when we will also be attached to Radha and Krishna and chant the holy name with a pure attachment. And these sentiments and bhavas of Kinkari Bhava will be swirling within our hearts and carrying our feelings and desires to the lotus feet of Radha. And I think I'll stop here if there's any questions. Or comments? Something? Any question? Andre, you're pretty smart. You always have your questions.
Well, I really don't know how to phrase this one, but we're talking about being surrounded at the feet of Guru. I'm thinking, how to do that? It's a
good
question, how to do it.
Not allowed. These questions.
How to do it. And I'm thinking, what is the
essential element in how to be surrendered to the Guru? Yeah. Is to really feel that you want to put Guru's interest before yours. To genuinely feel that I want to put Guru's interests and Guru's desires before mine. That's sincerity. Because we have a lot of our own interests. It's sometimes called vested, the term is vested interests, which I'm sure you're well aware of that. So, this may take a few lifetimes. Yeah.
Is there a difference between giving pleasure to Guru with our mind, saying, oh, I will do this, I will do that, putting the Guru interest before ours?
Can you rephrase that again?
I think there is, sometimes we say, okay, I will do this for Guru there, I will do that, I will bring this, like this. So this is giving pleasure to the Guru.
While you're doing it or you're just saying it?
No, I want to know if there is a little difference when you do that or when you think that you have to put the Guru interest before yours. Means you can decide what he wants. Yes. Yesterday or the day before yesterday, you see, there is only one question and this is dying here now. What can I do for you?
Yeah, yes. Kim Karomi, how can I serve you?
Yeah, this is great. I need some keys like that.
Yes.
So
well, the first point you said that I just want, you have all these positive and positive ideas of service and enthusiastic desires to want to serve, all that positiveness and enthusiasm can kind of be focused in or concentrated in one phrase by in a positive and enthusiastic way, submit to the Guru and say how can I favorably serve you enthusiastically? In other words, I put the Guru's interests before mine by approaching him and say, what do you want? Then whatever he requests, and we make that our all in all, with all enthusiasm and positiveness, we accept it. That's what I would say. And that's certainly not an easy task, no doubt. That's like, say, the ideal or the optimum. And then and then we have to adjust ourselves in relation to the optimum to where we actually are and go forward and strive for the ideal. Yes?
Maharaj, what is the meaning or significance of His Holiness practice for Ramana Swami having this samadhi here in Radhakund? Can you explain something that we can understand? You mentioned something just during your talk. I mean, is there a difference between Radhakund and Mayapur? Or, I mean, is this something that we have to understand or we can understand?
Well, there's many. Everything has significance, obviously. when a person takes birth, where they take birth, what they do in their life, especially if their spiritual personalities, all of their activities are very meaningful and significant. And we have to. And all that, what all that is, depends on how much Krishna reveals to each individual. So, and they choose. I mean, I understand that was his will to be placed in Radhakund. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's correct. He wrote it down
himself. Yes. So that means, so generally they say that, just like Jagannath Das Babaji, he was here for so many years in Braj, and then he was saying in his own words that I couldn't find my Lord here, but I went to Mayapur and I found my Lord here. So some devotees may be totally absorbed in Radha and Krishna Leela. In terms of difference, obviously Navadvip and Vrindavan, there is some difference. One is called Audarya Dham, the other is called Madhurya Dham. There's some fine differences, and they become even more refined at the higher levels of Bhava and Ras. There's also so many similarities between Mayapur and Vrindavan. There are also differences. That is the nature of transcendence. There's oneness and difference at every level, union and separation. So it's not all one. We don't say it's all one. Never can we say it's all one. Mayapur is not all one with Vrindavan. There's always oneness and difference everywhere. It's not all union. There's separation, union, separation. This is the nature of the fullest understanding of divinity. It's always two, Radha and Krishna. So the samacharyas are completely involved in Gaur Leela, and they have their sarup in Gaur Leela, and they render eternal service in Gaur Leela. Some have sarup in Radha Krishna Leela, and they render their service eternally in Radha Krishna Leela. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that some jivas can have multiple sarups, and that's also mentioned in other places, that as the Lord can expand in unlimited forms for his pastimes, the jivas can also expand in unlimited forms in order to assist the Lord and serve him according to his will. So even jivas aren't limited to one form. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the jiva can have multiple forms. He can have a form in Gaur Leela as a Nityakishore Brahman. Another acharyas have this idea also. And he can have a second form in Radha Krishna Leela as a Nityakishori Sakhi Manjari. So, where a particular acharya chooses to enter Nitya Leela or be interned or have his samadhi is sometimes indicative of his particular seva, his particular Nitya Seva, and also his predilection for one area of divine service over another. So that I'm not so familiar with the entire life and of Swadamara Swami, but it is significant that he chose and his will to enter Radhakund, because Radhakund is a place of Madhyan Leela, and he has of course a temple in Navadvip and Koladvip and Aparad Bhanga, the place where aparads are forgiven. And he also has his temple here, Gopal Mandir, on the banks of Radhakund. But he chose to be put in samadhi here. At least to us, this indicates that he's in Gopi Bhav, that he's also Manjari. And he wants to serve Radharani in the place. This place, Radhakund, is the place where Sakis serve Rana and Krishna. This is not the place for coward pastimes. This is not the place for the pastimes of Vatsalya Bhav or Sakya Bhav. This is the place of pastimes in Madhurya Bhav. So being placed here, it gives a clear message to everyone that he's in Madhurya Bhav. And this is the place where the Sakis and Mantris are rendering service. So in our Sampradaya, we're presenting Mantri Bhav. So it would indicate that, yet, listen everyone, I'm in Mantri Bhav. I'm a Mantri. Whether or not he's also in Gaur-lila, that I can't say. But at least this, having the samadhi, because they say that this is, that they're entering Nitya-lila. So he left his body, as I mentioned in the talk, he left his body during the Rasa-lila at Nishant time, or rather Nisha time. And he placed his body, the longest time period of Leela is night, Nisha Leela, 6 hours. And the equally long time is Madhyan Leela, which is also 6 hours, and that's at Radhakund. So he left his body at night to enter the midnight pastimes of Rasa dance. And there's no coward boys doing any pastimes at that time. Coward boys are sleeping soundly and dreaming about Krishna. So he left his body at that time. And he put his body in, and that time, he put his body in Radhakund, and then this is a place where Radha and Krishna have their midday pastimes for 6 hours, from 11 in the morning to 3 at night, 3 in the afternoon, and that's midday, and the midnight pastimes 11 at night to 3 in the morning. So these two things together reinforce the idea in my mind that your Guru Maharaj is definitely in Madhurya Bhav, and he wants to be, and that he is in Radha and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Especially, that's very clear. Whether or not he, like some guru, maybe put in Mayapur, so that indicates that he very much interested in Gaur Lila, and also what it may. And then you have to follow his life and see what his basic sthayabha was, and it can also indicate that he's in Radha Krishna Lila. Like we have someone Gaur Govinda Swami, he's Gaur Govinda, so he's in both Lilas. He's in Gaur Lila and Govinda Lila. That's very clear from the content of his speak and speaking in his bhav, and he's worshipping Krishna Balarama. So many things. He's in both lilas, so it's quite clear. So Sri Damodara Goswami, we would have to look at what were his favorite bhajans and so many things, his life history, then you could understand. Just like we can see in Prabhupada's disciples. One time Hansaduta was on a walk with Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, some of your disciples are more, they're not so much into Vrindavan. They like Mayapur. They like Navadvip. They don't even like to come to Vrindavan. And some are into Vrindavan. They don't like to go to Mayapur. Is that offensive, Srila Prabhupada? And this is in folio. Prabhupada said, no, it's not offensive. Some devotees like Mayapur more. Some devotees like Vrindavan. That's okay. So I have some godbrothers that are totally into Gaur Lila. I mean, to the max. I mean, they're into Madhurya Gaur Lila. And they don't have so much appetite for Radha Krishna Leela. Even they come here sometimes to try to get into Radha Krishna Leela. One godbrother came recently. He said, I've come here to try to get some taste for Radha Krishna Leela, but as soon as I come here, I just keep thinking, Gora, 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 Gora. Gora, 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 because Go is Govinda and Raz, Radharani. Gora, Gora, Gora. I went to some pot or some Bhagavad pot, and they were talking about Radha Krishna. And as they're talking about Radha Krishna, I kept thinking of my Gauranga, and all they could say is Gora, Gora, Gora. So I keep trying every year, but I run back to Navadvipa and I just immerse myself in my Gauranga. So I can see myself that somehow I have, of course, regard. And even he made the point, he said, most Gaudiyas, at least in Vrindavan, they see Gauranga. Gauranga is merely the golden lord who is pointing in the direction towards Radha Krishna Leela. He said, this is what I found out. The Babaji's at Radhakund, the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, all the Vrindavan Vaishnavas, they see the Gauranga. He's merely the golden lord who's standing there like this and saying, where's Vrindavan? That way. Go that way. It's called Gaur Chandrika. You meditate a little bit on Gaur, get a little purified, then absorb yourself in your Mandri Srup and your Bhajan and Radha Krishna Leela. He says, but for me, Gauranga is the Sadhya. Sadhya means the goal, and Gaur Lila is my Sadhya. So I said, okay, very good. Maybe I'll bump into you in the spiritual world. Maybe when I'm wandering through Braj and all of a sudden I step into Navadvipa, I might bump into you over there. Because I can see myself that I have more regard over here. I mean, even from the beginning when I came to India, when I went to Mayapur, we of course go first, and then Puri. When I got here, I felt, oh, yeah, this is my place. So it's, the Lord has His will for every jiva that He knows. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. They say, thy will shall be done. So it's all the Ichha Shakti of the Lord. Every jiva is simply a whole leela. All these leelas are the will of the Lord. This creation is the will of the Lord. We didn't make it, He made it. We didn't make ourselves, He made us.
I think that Sripad Maharaj gave a lot of indication. When he was chanting some bhajan, he had a gopi voice. I hear this. And they recalled one few hours before his departure, and he just cried so beautifully. But he recalled many few years before, so a full city only chanting with gopi, wandering voice. Amazing. So I think he knew perfectly who he was. This is my real
I mean, with the name, I mean, Prabhupada, I mean, he, not only he knows, but Prabhupada knows also.
Yeah.
Swarup Damodar Das. Swarup Damodar is Lita Sakhi. Swarup Damodar Das became Swarup Damodar Swami. So, certainly Guru knows everything. Just like someone showed me a copy of Radha Sahasranam. I also have a copy of Radha Sahasranam, which Kushikrata translated and Bhaktivinoda collected it from Narada Pancharatra. So this Indian, one of my Indian friends in Delhi, is chanting Radha Sahasranam. He's a Gaudiya Vaishnava from another Gaudiya Math. And he said, your name is there, Mahanidhi. I said, it's not, because I have this Bhaktivinoda from Kushikrata's Radha Sahasranam. And I chanted, and I know it's not. I know most of the words and names. I said, I don't recall that name. I obviously remember that. He said, no, I'll show you. So he brought it to me. And then it's also spoken by Lord Shiva, and it's from Urdhvanaya. It's not from Narada Pancharatra, it's from Urdhvanaya Tantra. Because Narada Pancharatra is also spoken by Lord Shiva to Parvati. Because she asked him, she said, oh, who is this? You're always glorifying this Radharani. Who is she? And then Shiva says, sit down, I'll tell you the glories of Radharani. He says, Devi Radha, you know, he goes, starts off like that. But I was pleased to know what he, and another Radha Sahasranam is Mahanidhi, the great jewel, the great treasure. Radharani is the great treasure on Krishna's chest, or the great jewel of his heart. So, Prabhupada also knows about us. At first, I mean, it's everything becomes deeper and deeper as we go deeper. Everything becomes deeper. So when we first joined, we thought that Prabhupada understood that we were so much into the ocean. Because Nidhi means ocean. And having been born on the coast and always been in the ocean, surfing and joined in L.A. And so I thought Mahanidhi meant the great ocean. The great ocean. And then, and like this. You know. So then I came, oh no, actually, it's forget about the ocean. That's all Aishwarya Bhav, or that's some vibhuti of the Lord, of bodies of water, I am the ocean, or something. It's some vibhuti or opulence of the Lord. It's also a name of Vishnu, Mahanidhi, thousand names of Vishnu. So this is, and then of course there's a verse where Narayan Raj, he gets some, there's a verse glorifying Rupa Goswami, it says Mahanidhi there, that he opened the treasure, it says Rupa Goswami, with the acts of his words, he opened the treasure chest of Lord Chaitanya's heart. It's in his songbook, in Hindi songbook, Giti Gucha is a verse glorifying Rupa Mahanidhi. So this, we have to realize by our bhajan, what is the identity of our Guru Maharaj? This is the answer to your question. You're asking me to speculate or speak whatever I can understand, but you are directly connected with your Guru Maharaj. And this is my own experience with my Guru Maharaj. When I first joined, I thought my Guru Maharaj was like one thing. Sridhar Swami explains that there are three levels by which one understands his Guru Maharaj. The first level, one understands his Guru Maharaj. My Guru Maharaj, he is Sakshat Hari. My Guru Maharaj is Sakshat Hari. Sakshat Hari Tve Nasamasa Shastra. My Guru is not different from God. My Guru is omnipotent. He is so great. He is perfect. Everything done is great. He is absolute. This is like kind of the Aishwarya conception. The on reverence Aishwarya conception is the first conception. As one surrenders and serves Guru more and more, he starts to understand that he is Mukunda Preshta. He's Mukunda Preshta. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya. Krishna Prashta means Mukunda Prashta. He's actually a very, because we say Sakshatri, he is God, Guru is God. In Hindi they have all these phrases, and they cap, and all these gurus capitalize on it. They say Jagat Guru Vand, they say, you know, the Guru is God, and so then the Guru says, yes, you worship me, forget about God. Many, many gurus in India, they lead their disciples in such a way, just worship Guru as God, Guru is everything. And so they capitalize and exploit their disciples. So the first level is Sakshatri, my Guru is God. He is everything. He is the Absolute. And the second level is that he is Mukunda Prashna. He's a very dear servitor of God. He is very dear. He is actually not God. He is a servitor of God. And he is a delegation of the Lord. And he's representing a particular aspect of compassion of the Lord known as Kripa Shakti Murti. He is a form of compassion of the Lord. And then the third aspect is that he has an intimate eternal relationship with God in one rati or another. He is a coward boy. He is a coward girl. He is a gopi. He is a sakha. He has his own individual loving relationship with the Lord in his sarup. So these are three levels of understanding Guru. So as a disciple progresses in his own prayers and bhajans, then the Guru reveals the different aspects of his own personality. That is our own experience of 30 years in bhajan, or trying, let's say, 30 years in trying to serve our Guru. The Guru himself will reveal what is his own name, what is his seva, everything he'll tell. So you're a disciple of Swarup Damodara Swami. So then by your own prayers and your own sincerity, he will reveal who he is and where he is and what he's doing. And then he'll reveal who you are and where you are and what you'll be doing with him eternally. There's one thing for sure, there's no Bhaktivedanta Institute up there. there's no Rasarajas. There's only one Rasaraj up there. Rasaraj Sri Krishna. Anything else? Rasaraj Mahabhav. Right, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's Radha and Krishna. Rasaraj Krishna and Mahabhav Radharani. So thank you. Mancha Gova Druyascha. Thank you.